Today I want to talk to you about this season that we're in, and as I wrote it, I didn't even name it. I didn't have a name for it, and I think that the best way I can say, if I had to give it a name, is transition. And as I was preparing for today, Jane actually sent me a link on my email and said, maybe, and I didn't know what it was, so I opened it up, and it was Patricia King and James Gall, which happened to be prophetic voices. Most people know them, and if you don't, then you should. But as they began talking about the revelation that God was giving them, the anointing kept building, and it was building back and forth between them. They were having this discussion, and you could tell God was giving more and more revelation as they began to talk about the revelation that they had. And that's the way God is. That's why you need to be around people that have the same spirit. You need to have the same voices speaking into your life. You need to get around people that can talk about the greatness of God and what he's doing, and it will inspire and bring revelation back and forth between you and them, and then there is something else that happens. And so as I was listening to them, I was getting more revelation on past revelations that I've already have, as well as new revelations that they were given. And so they were talking about some things that I think are so important for us that we need to understand and relate to right now. And so one of the things that they talked about was the significance of the most recent Passover. Now, we know that we fasted and we prayed until Passover, and we believe that there was a significant breakthrough at that time, and we saw that the curve was beginning to flatten across America and also across the world as we prayed. And so they said that the way that they brought it together was first in Egypt, as God's people were in quarantine, and they applied the blood over their households. We talked about this when I preached on Passover, that the death plague passed over them. Secondly, when Jesus released his blood over our lives to destroy death, hell, and the grave, and unite us again to our Father, he became our great Passover. Everybody say amen. And currently, the third most significant Passover is that we were being and are being held in quarantine at the time of a plague of death. And so as we fasted and prayed and believed God, we began to see life restore death. And so the numbers began to turn. And I declare today that the time is near for death to come to death. Amen. Amen. And there will be no resurrection of it either. That coronavirus is dead. I curse it and I announce freedom from it. Our God is intentional, like we sang today, and he is working all these things together for our good, and he's working on it right now. He didn't forget his promises. So what season are we in now? Between Passover, and so I have heard that the prophets were talking about between Passover to Pentecost. And I really didn't look into it until I started doing this sermon. And so Pentecost, I know, comes from the Greek word 50, but the Jewish name is Shavuot, meaning weeks of sevens. And so traditional Jews celebrate Pentecost on the 50th day after the day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it's a time of thanksgiving of the harvest, of the wheat harvest, but also, as I studied, I found out that it was also celebrated as an annual memorial of God's promise to Noah never again to destroy the world by a flood. And we know that on the day of Pentecost in Acts, that it was the New Testament church being birthed. So all of these things were happening because of Pentecost, of this great day of celebration. And so the Spirit was poured out on the disciples. Nothing was ever going to be the same. The church was going to arise, and they received fire and empowerment of the Spirit. And so up to that time, remember, the Christians at that time were in captivity to the Romans. The Romans ruled, and everything was against them, and some of them were being slaughtered, and death was still among them. And when the Holy Spirit fell, did you notice that Jesus didn't put his kingdom on earth the way they thought he was going to? Instead, he invested his kingdom in human vessels. He said, you know, they said, when are you going to bring your kingdom? And he wouldn't say, I'm going to bring my kingdom by destroying the Romans and putting up my rule. He wanted them to rule. He wanted them to take dominion. He wanted them to arise with fire. He wanted them to be the church. He wanted them to be different. He wanted them to bring back his original design and structure. Okay. He wanted them to show his heart by bringing signs and wonders and miracles. He wanted them to preach the gospel and to bring a transformation and a transition from the Old Testament to the New. From the old covenant where they had to earn something to the new covenant where they got to walk in the grace and the power that was given to them by God. And so they were welded together into one organism called the living body of Christ. And so the spiritual community of faith of Christ Jesus, operating by the Spirit, is what we are experiencing right now. We have to understand that Jesus is adjusting the church, and he's bringing a shaking that we talked about last week and a fire to clean up the debris that has been in the church for a while. But we're looking forward into the day of Pentecost and knowing that it's a breakthrough for the church coming alive in a new way as we've never experienced it before. So the more time goes on, the more God brings revelation. Revelation on top of revelation. So right now, the church is in an incubation period. I believe that is a good way of saying it, that we are being in an incubation period set aside by God so that we can put our heart on the altar before him and we allow the Spirit to do what he wants to do. And even in the natural, the pollution of the world is clearing up. Now they can see the tops of mountains they couldn't see before. Did you look at California? They can see. They don't have the fog of what usually is going on. Because when the land rests, the land heals. When the body rests, the body heals. And when the Spirit rests, the Spirit heals and brings something new. It's a time when quietness before the Lord is going to bring more revelation. So James Gall began to share what the Lord had told him. And he's been waiting for a long time. God said, I've been waiting for a long time for my people to slow down and to hear me. He told him that it was a time of a new era and that he would begin to talk to his church again about creation, about seed time and harvest, and about understanding that those who sow in tears will reap in joy. And so he was talking about how when God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, that Moses had to not just glance at the bush, but gaze into the bush. And when he gazed into the bush, then the supernatural event of God speaking to him revealed his destiny and his purpose. And so as we are in this place where we are set aside with God, he is speaking to us, and we can't just glance at him as many have done in the past, but we have to gaze at him to hear his voice and to get a revelation of our destiny and our purpose so that we can realign ourselves with him. And so he had a supernatural experience, and as it was in a dream. And he saw himself and seven other people that he recognized as family members. And he had a scroll in his hand. And as he opened it, he saw that it was a blueprint. And so it was a blueprint to build an ark. And so he and his family went and got the tools that were needed, and they began to build an ark. And he saw when they began to build that other people heard the word that somebody has a blueprint, and the blueprint was going to apply to the days that they were living in. And so they started going to get the blueprint also. And as they went to get the blueprint kept multiplying. And as the blueprint multiplied, they took it and they began to build their own arks. And so then it was 20 people building, 50 people building, then there was thousands of people, and they were all building arks together, and it kept multiplying. Arks everywhere were being built. And then he woke up out of the dream. But there was a word that got branded on his heart. And he said, usually he hears a word of the Lord. He sees something immediately thereafter. But this time, there was a weightiness of a word that started to press upon his chest. And he could feel it going into him. And he said it was a weighty word saying, as it was in the day of Noah. Now, most of us, including him, have always looked at the days of Noah as being a time of when people had turned their back against God. They wouldn't even hear what he had to say. That it's always a negative connotation that we understand. But we need to shift the way that we're seeing it and know that it really was God calling the righteous into an ark of preservation, of protection, and of safety. And so the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. And so he realized that in this time, that there's a storm that is brewing. There's a storm that has come. But God right now is looking for the righteous in this generation. And he has us in this ark right now. And he is beginning to lay out the blueprint of what he wants the church to look like when we come out of the ark. This is a time where we can understand that God is with us in this place of transition, but he has brought us into this place right now, sealing us away from wickedness and causing us to arise with a new heart for him. Now, Noah and his family were in that ark for 50 days. And we are going to transition in 50 days from Passover to Pentecost is 50 days, just happens to be. So our perspective has to change about this, and we're going into a better place, a place where God's character, where his nature is going to be known. So look at this as an opportunity for us to know that this is an increased divine season of God to show us what we're supposed to look like when we get out of here. Amen? So God is taking over with revelation. And so years ago, it was either in 2007 or 2008, I was praying in my office. And as I was praying in my office, I began to have a vision, and I knew that it was from God. So I ran into Jane's office and I said, I'm getting a vision. You need to type it out. So I began to speak to her this vision. And some of you have heard what it was, but I'll repeat it again because I have new revelation on the revelation. So I saw in the heavenly realm, first I heard trumpets. I heard trumpets sounding. And then I heard of voices, like voices of many waters. And it was from every nation, and they were all in their own language, except for I understood what they were saying. And what they were all saying at one time was, come, Lord Jesus, come. That was the cry across the world that they were saying. And I saw a grid that was the grid of the city of Jerusalem. And I saw it coming down from the heavenly realm, and it came down and it settled. And it was just the blueprint exactly. And I had been to Jerusalem. I have seen the city of Jerusalem. And I actually saw the grid of the city of Jerusalem because they drew it and they had it built in a small model. And I saw it come down, so I recognized what it was. And then another grid, as we continued to cry out to the Lord, another grid came down and it fit succinctly inside that first grid. And then a third grid came, and when it came down, I thought it went liquid because it just spread out everywhere. So I'm going to tell you how God expanded my understanding of what those grids were. So when I saw this, I knew that it represented what God wanted, but at the time I didn't understand this part, and I do now. It is the original design that God wanted for the church. What is Jerusalem to God? Jerusalem is the place of the church. It is his home where he birthed the church. It was the place where he released his heart into the people of God to operate as they became the church that represented him well and operated as his original intention in Genesis, that they would rise up, they would again take dominion, they would rule, and that they would know who they were, and that they would be one with him again. Those are all of the things that happened to the disciples. And so that first grid is God bringing the church as we know it now. He is bringing us into an understanding that this is what the church is supposed to look like. That's why if you listen to anybody long enough, they're going to be talking about the book of Acts, and they're going to be talking about the original church, and they're going to talk about Pentecost, and they're going to talk about what God is doing, because God is releasing his voice and releasing revelation that in this time, when we are set aside in this ark of safety and having to focus because we don't have any distractions, is that he is letting us see what his original intention was and what it looks like. And so when Jerusalem comes down, then we are staring at the blueprint of God for the church. And so the second grid is coming down, letting us know that the church today has to fit itself into his original grid. We can no longer like be poking out and not coming into our own thing, making our own way according to our own understanding, but we are going to have his way, and we are going to put ourselves as the church of the living God inside of his original blueprint so that we can be so close to him that you won't be able to tell us apart. And so the things that were important to us before, I've heard so many people say, it showed me how much time I was wasting, how many things I was spending my time on that had no purpose, that has nothing to do, and I'm getting my focus back. I'm understanding the things that have content that I want to put myself to. I'm getting myself put into proper order. People are getting rid of things out of their house. They're getting rid of things out of their lives. They're being paying more attention. You know why? Because they're coming in to this grid of God where God says, be holy as I am holy, and take dominion as I gave you dominion, and speak truth as I told you to speak truth, and stand firm and call those things that are not as though they are. Have a walk of faith, teach, preach, and disciple. And we're going to have to fit into his grid again. And so he's exposing the wastefulness of our lives, and he's exposing his greatness to us at the same time. Now, God didn't say to Noah, I want you to walk on this water. He asked him to build something. He asked him to build something that would carry his family forward into the ability to reproduce what he wanted to bring. And right now, while we are in this place of the ark, he is showing us what his grid is, and he's saying, Church of the Living God, it's time for you to begin to build again. But this time, I want you to build it according to my blueprint, according to my plans, according to my heart, and then I have blessings stored up for you because I am starting you as a restart. This is an opportunity for us to get readied to step out. Amen? So just as Noah had to work with the Holy Spirit, you know, he kept sending a dove out. You know that the dove represents the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't until the dove came back showing proof of land that it was time for them to get out of that ark. And right now, we are waiting upon the Spirit of God, and we are waiting for him to show us when we are readied. When are we readied? Not when is everything else readied. When are we, the Church of the Living God, readied to step out onto the land that God has promised us? Amen? So we have to wait upon him. Then the third grid, as it came down, I thought it was liquid because it looked like it. It just started flowing. But now I understood that it wasn't just liquid, it was expansion. That when we aligned with God's purposes and we were willing to let go of everything that needed to be let go of and build the way that God wanted us to build, to be the church that represents him with the tools needed, that will wait upon him and listen to his voice, then I knew that it was expansion. And I knew that it wasn't just expansion of a particular church. It's not just expansion of Liberty Life Center. It's not just expansion of the Baptist Church. This is the expansion of the Church of the Living God all over the world. That's why it went liquid. That's why it looked so vast. Because it was. Because it multiplied and it expanded. Because every believer that had come to a place of righteousness, that had come to a place of revelation, that had come to a place of willingness to do it God's way, was crying out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come and show me and do to me what is necessary and tell me when I'm ready and be released and tell me what I'm here for and tell me what my destiny is and show me my purpose, that when I step out, I am going to step out upon your glory." Hallelujah. So the whole world, now look at what this pandemic has done. In the natural, it has hit the whole world. The whole world. It's not just a place in the world, it's everywhere. And so God is the one who has come listening to the cries of the people. But he reminded me. He said, "You know how you always say, Dawn? You always say it happens in the natural. They start saying things in the natural, and then it happens in the spiritual, and it's me letting people know ahead of time." And I said, "I do say that. I say that all the time because I've seen you do that over and over and over again." Just like empowerment. Everybody, they want empowerment, but it's the spirit empowerment. And so he said, "Well, this is what is happening again." He said, "Even as they are calling forth and saying that they are preparing for a new world order, I am releasing a new world order of my church." And he said, people are missing the memo. Many people don't understand that as they are confessing what they think is the answer, is that the nations need to come together to help one another. What they are saying in the natural is happening in the spiritual, because my people who are called by my name are beginning to cry, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come upon this earth. Take us together. Magnify your name. Let us operate as one." And there will be a bonding together and a bringing together of the church that has never happened before. And we're going to step out of the ark, and we are going to know what the blueprint of God is, and we're going to begin to operate, and we are going to need one another to be able to do it. And so he's breaking down the division. He's provided our protection. He has given us provision. And he's looking for the people of righteousness that will walk and beginning to share the blueprint of God that they received in the time of the secret place. And so truth seekers are the ones that are willing to focus their lives back on what God's original intentions of the church is. God has a redemptive purpose in everything that happens in our life. We often don't understand what God is doing, and so we sometimes get angry at him. We sometimes get upset. We don't know what this is about, and we lose our footing. We lose our where we're supposed to be. We don't stand in our positional authority, but God is calling us back, and he is redeeming this situation because he has original intentions for the church, and his redemptive purpose is that the church could not do anything on their own. We're not going to be able to operate like we've always operated. It will be impossible for us to go back into a format that is not formatted of God if you have a heart for him. If you have a heart for him. So this is a place of pivotal change. It's a place where we are being transitioned out of one era into the next era with the body of Christ, where there is going to be a jubilee sounding of people when they are worshiping God as one with praise, and he will come. And he will come and he will put everything back in order. So as the freedom is ringing, the church is getting, we're birthing something right now. Like I'm like, well, what does it look like, God? I'm crying out like everyone else is. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and show me exactly. How do we operate? How do we move with you? How does this look? What are we supposed to do as a church body? How can we reach them? And so God has got his people hungry now for answers, because there is a knowing on the inside that we have to have his blessing and we have to have his empowerment in order for anything else to change. And so everyone is going to step out. The hungry ones, the faithful ones, the ones that want truth are going to step out on new ground, and it's going to be God's original intent of life, new life, dominion, authority, family, a time of obedience where God shows his relationship with his people in a new way, and they begin to align with his dreams instead of theirs. Hallelujah. It's time for us to get back into alignment. Amen. So now, what did Noah do? This is so important for us to understand. If we know that God is relating this to the time as it was in the days of Noah, then what happened when Noah got out of the boat? What is the first thing that Noah did when he got off the ark? Yeah, exactly. Genesis 8:18. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, and every beast and every creeping thing and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth on the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord. And he took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and he offered what? Burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled it. And he said, oh, that's sweet. And he said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Isn't that beautiful? For the imagination of man's heart was evil from their youth. But I will never again destroy it while the earth remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And we know he put the rainbow in the sky. And God blessed Noah and his sons. And he said unto them, what? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now let's look at this. Noah had a heart. The first thing, you know, there wasn't just two of the animals. That is a misnomer that we have been taught. God told him exactly how many of each animal to put in there because there had to be room to offer sacrifices. It wasn't just for replenishment. It was so that those animals could have be sacrificed before him because God was waiting to see if Noah would get the memo while he was on the ark. He was waiting to build a community of people that would step out of what seemed like a horrendous ordeal, and the first thing that they wanted to do was to honor God with first fruits. They wanted to cause an aroma to come up before him that was going to please him. And as Noah did this, not because he was made to, but because he knew his God and he understood that he had redeemed him a people. He understood that they were the new people, the new presentation. He was totally aware that him and his family were the ones that were going to bring a whole new race forth. And he said, how, God, how could I not praise your name? You've brought us through an ark of safety. You've brought us with provision. You've given us enough, more than enough, that we can offer up this praise to you. And as he offered up in a sacrifice before his God, not only did God consume it, but God said, I am going to give you a promise. This will never be again the way it was. I am never going to destroy in the way that this destruction happened. And I believe that God is looking for a people that when they come out of this place of where we feel so isolated, that the churches are rising and they're going to arise with one voice and they're going to say, come, Lord Jesus, come, knowing that there is a difference on the inside of them that has to be released. And there will not be a person that loves him and that knows him, that has found him during this time, that will not be ready to release their voice of praise before their God and to sing mightily for him and to him and to see him come in a way that it absolutely causes us all to be multiplied and to go liquid and pliable before our God. We're not going to demand our own way. We're going to sit and wait and rejoice before him. The sacrifice of praise continually. The fruit of our lips giving praise to his name. What all is good and what all has happened, we will not forget. But with the sacrifice of praise, God is well pleased. Hallelujah. A time of rejoicing across the nations. A time of saying, come into our arenas. Come into our churches. Come into our places of our homes. Come into our families. And it will be a global blessing. It will cause the expansion of the kingdom while we sink into his perfect plan. And while we sink into the blueprint of what his church looks like. We're coming into the time where he said, see, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to give them and their descendants after them. We are those descendants, and we are supposed to go in, and we are supposed to occupy. We are supposed to possess. Luke 19 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. What are we supposed to look like? Those that have come to seek and save the lost. And as they heard these things, he spoke a parable. And he was going towards Jerusalem, that they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. And he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and he delivered them 10 pounds. And he said to them, occupy until I come. Occupy till I come. God told them the way to occupy in the new land is to embrace him and to rise into their dominion that they were supposed to walk in. We are going to have a revelation of who he is and what we're supposed to be. And he gave them the tools, and he's given us the tools to be able to occupy until he comes. Noah was the righteous one on the earth, and now God is looking for the righteous ones on the earth to occupy again. So how do we activate the occupation? Daniel 12:3 says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to shine like the brightness. We are going to be like him. We are going to turn people to righteousness, and they're going to be like stars forever and ever. It's going to be a short period of time. People are going to come into the kingdom, and they are going to be excited and stay excited. We are going to shine bright, and they are going to shine bright, because we are readying ourselves to fit inside of the grid of God, of what the church is supposed to be like, how we're supposed to talk, how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to be, and we will know it because we will cry unto our God, "Come, Lord Jesus, come," before we do anything else. Hallelujah. This is not just a greater illumination, but it's a different lifestyle we're going to lead. It's a whole different life. It's going to have true righteousness. We're going to be those that proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and move in holiness. We're not going to look like we used to look or talk like we used to talk. Like, we are going to have less baggage. Hallelujah, less baggage. We are going to cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," and we are going to let his holiness consume us. And he will give birth to us and to our family an inheritance that will bring an impact into our house and into our regions. From out of this house of worship will come a place of sacrificial honor to our God like never before. I know that God keeps saying there is a new sound that is going to come. And it is going to come from people coming together with a voice and God doing something amazing. So I want to read you what really happened. The greatest miracle of all at the Red Sea. The greatest miracle of all to me wasn't just that they crossed over on dry ground. But the greatest miracle of all wasn't that they spoiled the Egyptians, although they did. But the greatest miracle of all wasn't that their enemies got destroyed, but they did. The greatest miracle of all was that when they got to the other side, something supernatural happened. And it was a new birthing of their freedom to worship God in a new way. And so Exodus 15:1 says this: "Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord. And they spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will to praise him. I will to praise him, my father's God, and I will to exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army has been cast into the sea. His chosen captains were drowned in the Red Sea. The depths covered them, and they sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath, and it consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostril, the waters were gathered together, and the flood stood upright like a heap, and the depths congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy said, I will pursue, and I will overtake, and I will divide the spoil, and my desire will be satisfied on them, and I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. But you blew with your wind, and the sea covered them, and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. Are you getting the picture? I want you to see thousands and thousands and thousands of Israelites. I want you to see them going through the Red Sea on dry land. And I want you to understand that when they touched the other side, there was such a consuming power birthed by God that they were able to speak and cry out with one heart and one voice and give praise to his glorious name of everything that he had conquered, everything that their God had done, every way that he had destroyed their enemy, every way that he had empowered them, and they were singing the song inspired in the moment with one voice, not pre-planned, without a choir leader, without the words on the wall, without our overheads. They were singing spontaneously the praises and the victory of their God. Oh, don't you understand? Come, Lord Jesus, come is a global outbreak of the people of God understanding who they are and who he is, and they will begin to move in one voice, and there will be a cry of worship that will reach his ears, and it will be sweet smelling to his nostrils, and it will be a spontaneous outbreak of how wonderful he is, and they will be one person together as one with him by the Holy Spirit's outpouring, praising him, giving him what he deserves, giving him the offering of praise, giving to him all that he finally deserves. And as his church arises out of the debris and praises him in holiness and honors him with their lives, and lays down everything else because they have seen the wonder of him. They have seen the faithfulness of him. They knew what was up against them. They knew what Satan was trying to do. They knew that their enemy was in pursuit. They knew that it didn't look good for them. But oh, when their God came, oh, when he magnified himself, oh, when he came with this power, oh, when he split through the darkness, oh, when he dried up that which needed to be dried up so that he could bring that which was fresh and that which was new and that which was birthed from on the inside of his people. A voice of praise, a voice of triumph, a voice of declaration. And he came and he moved and he kept his children as he kept his promises. And there it is, the transitional peace that we need to put in place. God is going to cause a global oneness, a global awakening. He is building a one world order of people who will not stop praising his name and lifting him up for who he is, and understanding that no matter what the enemy has devised, he will never prevail against the people of God, because their God is with them and his praise is forever upon their lips. And as we praise him, we not only secure the victory, we walk in it, we talk in it, and we perform all of the things that he has called us to perform. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As we gain insight, we are going to stand out from the crowd. We will not be like we've ever been. We are not going to say what we've always said. We are going to burn brightly in the land, burn brightly in His presence, because His glory is here. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is something that man cannot birth on their own. It is something that is spontaneously understood. It is something that when you gaze upon His face, when you recognize what He has done, when you recognize that He has carried you safely from one place into the other, when He has brought you from that which was beginning to dry up and to be dead into a fresh place where the promise awaits, where the promise awaits, where His return is drawing closer and closer, and He's waiting for His church to get out of the ark, to put their feet on the ground, and to sing His praises, and to worship Him, and to cause a movement to go forth into His presence together with one voice. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. To every area of our life, come, Lord Jesus, come. Into every church all over the world, come, Lord Jesus, come. Into every person called by Your name, come, Lord Jesus, come. In the darkness and reveal Your marvelous light, come, Lord Jesus, come. And show Your victory, come, Lord Jesus, come. And defeat the enemy, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And ignite Your fire once again amongst Your people. Come, Lord Jesus, and have Your way. Order our steps. Give us Your blueprint. Let us understand. Let us be willing. Let us be pliable. Let us be liquid before You as the Spirit pours out upon us. Lord, let it come. Let it come. And this season, let us let go of everything that does not represent You. Oh, come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus. Jesus, come. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah to Your name, Lord. We can't do anything without You. We don't want to do anything without You, Lord. We want it to be Your way. We want every breath that we take to breathe You in. We want You to receive our praise, to receive the honor that You deserve. Let it be a blessing, a fragrance before You, Lord, that You expel Your promises to Your people, Lord, that we will be as one, that we will walk as one, that we will care for each other the way You've called us to care for each other. Lord, that we will not have our own agendas, but Lord, we'd be willing to come together and meet the needs of others, Lord. Oh, Lord, let us be hungry and hungry after doctrine, hungry to sit at Your table together, Lord. Oh, Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Oh, Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Lord, let our mouths be filled with nothing but praise. Let our mouths be filled with nothing but honor. Let our mouths be filled with nothing but declarations unto our great, marvelous God who has saved us. Oh, Lord, let us love You the way You deserve to be loved. Let us love You the way You deserve to be loved, our God. Oh, God, give us a heart for those that do not know You, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and fill our hearts with a desire to see them saved, Lord. Come and fill our hearts with and rid us of laziness, Lord. Rid us of our fears, Lord. And give us a boldness to speak forth Your love and Your grace and Your word to them, Lord. The first church came together and they prayed in the midst of a trial still that came against them. And they said, oh, that we may speak with boldness. Lord, give us the ability. Come, Lord Jesus, come and fill our mouth with boldness that we can declare your glory, that we can win souls, souls, souls to you, Lord. Lord, we understand that time is short. We understand what is happening, Lord. We hear all the signs. We don't know the time. We don't know the hour, but we know this, those things that you have let us see. We know it is coming to a pivotal time in history where we will hear those trumpets sound. And Lord, we want when the trumpets sound that we will have these words upon our lips. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And Lord, as we come to you, Lord, we will bring those with us, Lord, that we have rescued from trauma. We have rescued from darkness. We have rescued from sin, that we have brought and we have discipled and we have shared our love, Lord, the way that you have always designed us to. That as we stand on this earth in our dominion and in the understanding of who we are and what you've made us to be, that Lord, we see us changing and fitting succinctly into your plan. And Lord, I call forth all the people in every nation. Oh, Lord, that know you, but they have been sidelined. They have been blasted by the enemy. They have been betrayed. They have been set free only to be run down again by the enemy with his threats. But Lord, we thank you that you are releasing your breath and you are blowing upon this earth once again all over the world. And you are causing us to come to the other side where we will sing of your glory and we will praise and we will magnify your name. Oh Lord, when your people recognize you, when they recognize you in the midst of everything that they do, when they recognize you in the trial and in the tribulation, Lord, when they recognize you as the warrior, when they recognize you as their deliverer, they won't help but bring up their voices from inside with a new sound that only you can bring. A new sound of praise. A new sound because it's not just a sound. It's a recognition. It's a revelation. It's a desperation to know you even more. So come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Take all of our plans. Make them liquid at your and expand your kingdom, Lord. Cause the expansion to come, Lord. Cause the expansion as you have seen it, as you have planned it, and as you are releasing it to come to pass, Lord. We thank you for it, and we thank you for it, and we thank you for it. Oh, hallelujah to your name, Lord. Hallelujah to your name, Lord. Lord, you in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. We couldn't do it. But you led us, Lord. You guided us in your strength to your holy habitation. And every enemy will melt away. Fear and dread will be upon them, because by the greatness of your arm, they will be as stone as your people pass over, until the people pass over that you have purchased.
and you plant them in your mountain, in your inheritance, Lord, in the place that you have made for your own dwelling, in the sanctuary, Lord, where your hands have established it, where you, Lord God, will reign forever and ever and ever, Lord. I thank you, God, that we will sing and we will dance and we will prophesy with one voice about your goodness. Lord, that we will open our mouth with miracles. We will open our voices in agreement. We will worship you as we come out of bondage, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Your mercies endure forever, and you are forever committed to your people. Lord, we declare that we are forever committed to you and to your ways. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we come with great expectancy. We come to you with great expectancy, Lord. We come and we offer up a sacrifice of praise to you. No, not just sounds, Lord. Not just a chord that sounds good, Lord. But a choir of people operating in gratefulness to their God. They can't stop. They can't stop praising you and honoring you and loving on you and declaring who you are. Oh God, expand your kingdom, Lord. Expand your kingdom here on earth and then come and build your kingdom, Lord. Oh Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. I don't know what God is speaking to you today. I don't know what he's touched in your life. I pray that there's a revelation happening, as a revelation is happening from prophet to prophet, from person to person, from voice to voice, that you're understanding the goodness and the kindness of the Lord, and you're understanding your necessity to realign with him and to in this time that you are willing to lay down anything that doesn't glorify his name, oh God. Let it be so, let it be done. And so for those who have to realign themselves, I speak a word of encouragement, a blessing to you, that there is nothing that you have ever done. There is nothing you could ever do that he won't forgive you of. There is no plan that you have that his plan can fit over and protect you from and carry you through to the other side. There is no sin that has made him turn his back on you. Only it is the device of the enemy for you to feel like you are in shame and you cannot turn to him. But when you turn to him, you will find him running with a robe in his hand and a ring to put on your finger to welcome you home into his glorious arms. That is our Father who is forever committed to his children. If you don't know him today, run to him and say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Redeem me in such a time as this. And let me know your promises firsthand. And if you are one that has turned against him in some area of your life, then turn around and recognize that your God, your Father, the one, will never forsake you. He is your friend. He is committed to you. And he is waiting for you to just cry out to come. Come to him and he will come to you. He will meet you on that road. There will be a great collision of grace and mercy and forgiveness and restoration. That is the God that we serve.
Don't waste another minute of your life. Don't waste another minute serving the enemy. Do not give him your time. Do not give him your attention. Do not give him your affection. He only comes to kill, to steal, and destroy, but our God has come, and he has come today for you. He has come today to relieve you of your burdens. He has come today to secure you. He has come today to give you a reward and a promise. He will never let you down. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved, delivered, protected, restored, and made to walk in purpose and to made to walk in prosperity. How can you resist such a call of salvation? Don't do it. The time is short. The time is short, and the bridegroom comes. The bridegroom is coming. He is coming, and he's looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And he is in the process of bringing her forth even now. Hallelujah. So say, Father God, come. Say, Lord Jesus, come. Come into my heart. Change me. Show me your mercy. Let me wear my robes again. Put your ring upon my finger. Claim me as your very own, and let me walk in the goodness and the mercy of my God. And I will follow you all the days of my life, and I will surrender, and I will praise you. And I come with this expectation that when I confess my sins, you are faithful, you are the just one. You forgive me of all of them, and you cover them over, and you restore me to your righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen and amen.